All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation 21. And we are going to pick up where we left off last week. And if you'll remember, last week we were looking in the first part of this chapter at the folks who will be in heaven for eternity. And we learned that all the folks who experienced the first resurrection. So we know the Lord Jesus is going to be there, and he was the first fruits of the resurrection. And then we know that that the saints of God, the church, those that are born again during the church age, we know they're going to be in heaven. And then tribulation saints, those who will be saved during the tribulation period, we know that they are also going to be with the Lord throughout eternity. All right, but then there is a distinction that is made both in chapter 20 when dealing with the great white throne at the end of the millennium, and then the beginning of eternity, which is where we are in the first eight verses of chapter 21. So we know that there will be some who are not there. All right, well, who will not be there? Well, if you look at verse 8, and this is where we ended last week, in verse 8 it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, the first death is physical death, okay? Physical death. But the second death is to be eternally separated from God. That second death is hell, all right? If you'll look back at chapter 20 for just a moment, and we'll see verse 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So that is eternal separation from God. And there is no way that you're going to get to heaven if you have not received Christ as your Savior. It's just that simple. And if you have to die physically, that's the first death, and you're not saved, then you are one day going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And you're going to hear God say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that is the second death. That is when all the unsaved are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And there is no reprieve from that. There will be no second chances in that. All right? So that's why you have to make that salvation decision while you have the opportunity to do it. I've said many, many times, used this in many, many funerals, that life is only a moment in time to prepare for eternity. And it is. That's all it is. What did James say? He said, our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and then it vanisheth away. I'm amazed at just, you know, I sit here now at 68 years of age and I say, wow, where did the time go? How did I get so old so fast, you know? And you stay out of this. Because you're older than me and you always will be, okay?
You always remind me.
So, you know, how does that happen so quickly? Well, it happens to all of us, doesn't it? It happens to all of us. I keep telling my grandkids, enjoy your youth, because you're not going to have it forever. It's not going to stick around. It's not going to stay. And so, you know, you just turn around one day and your life is over. All right. So life is only a moment in time to prepare for eternity. So we all need to make that preparation now while we have the opportunity to do so. All right, so what do we find out here in verse 8? Well, what we see in verse 8 are the people who are not going to be in heaven. And those that will not be in heaven are the following: the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Now, let's go through each one of these. The fearful. All right, the fearful. Who are the fearful? This is not a reference. This is not speaking of someone who is physically cowardice. This is not talking about the person who is a coward. It's not talking about that at all. And we're going to use the Bible to explain the Bible. Okay, so let me show you. This is a reference to someone who has no faith, no trusting faith in the Lord. All right, now what did the author of Hebrews tell us in chapter 11? He said that without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right, so we got to have faith. Now, the sad thing is, there are way too many people who do not have faith in the Lord. You say, well, how does faith and fearful go together? All right, let me have you turn. Keep your place here, but let me have you turn over to the Gospel of Mark for just a moment. Go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel and chapter 4. All right, now we're going to use the Bible. I have told you many, many times that the best commentary on the Scriptures is the Scriptures, right? Amen. So let's let the Bible teach us the definition of the word fearful. And the first verse that I want you to look at is Mark chapter 4, and look down, please, if you will, at verse 40. Verse 40. Mark says, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Why are ye so," what's the next word? Fearful. Why are ye so fearful? Now watch this. How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? So someone who is fearful is a person who has no faith. All right, let's turn over to the Gospel of John for just a moment. Come back over to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. John 14. And look, please, at verse 27. Verse 27, the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now watch this. Let not your heart be what? Neither let it be what?
Afraid.
Neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go to my Father, unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right, now one more verse. Go over, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, Paul's epistle to Timothy, the second one. All right, and look, please, at chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And look, please, at verse 7. And here Paul says, for God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear. What has God given us? God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
So when we receive Christ as our Savior, we no longer fear the sin that has brought our fear. We no longer fear. We don't fear hell. We don't have any fear of that. That's taken away. We don't have any fear of man. What is man going to do to you? Give you an early trip to heaven? You know? Don't be afraid of a man. I know y'all have heard the story. Dr. Rice was preaching down in Texas, and he preached first and went back to his seat. And then Dr. Howes got up and preached, and was under a great big tent. There were thousands of people there. And this fellow walked up after the service, and he pulled out a gun. He pulled out a pistol, and he said to Dr. Rice, I'm going to kill you. And Dr. Rice just looked over his glasses down at him and said, son, you can't scare me with heaven. Amen. You can't scare me with heaven. Well, I mean, what's man going to do to you? So, you know, we got to realize that the fearful, those who are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and what that is saying to you is that you've never been saved. You don't know the victory. You don't know the joy. You don't know the power. You don't know the love. You've never experienced that. So the fearful. All right, then the next phrase in Revelation 21:8, the next phrase is the unbelieving. The unbelieving. Now, the unbelieving, folks, listen, there is no forgiveness for unbelief. There is none. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus was talking about. You say, well, I thought the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was when you curse the name of God. Well, that's what the Catholics would have you believe, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, now how do you do that? Well, does not the Bible say that it is the Spirit that draws us to Christ? Amen. Does not the Bible say that it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin? Amen. Yes, it is. And so when the Holy Spirit of God convicts a person of their sin and is drawing them to Christ, if they put up their hand and say, no, then you are blaspheming the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Plain and simple. You say, well, can a person be forgiven? Yes, you can be forgiven. That's the great part about all this. You can be forgiven. But if you have rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected, how many chances does God give you? Well, in Genesis, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You have no guarantee that there's going to be another opportunity for you after you have even rejected one time. Will the Spirit of God ever speak to your heart again? You have no guarantee of that. So when he speaks, you should listen to what he's saying. All right? So that is the unbelieving. And there is no forgiveness for unbelief. If you die in unbelief, that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that. No forgiveness. You're not going to spend an hour in hell and then the Lord say, all right, you ready to trust Christ now? Folks, I'll guarantee you, you spend 1 second in that place, you're going to have a change of heart. All right? And there's not going to be any second chances. No, sir. You better do it now. That's the point. So the unbelieving. Then the abominable. Those who practice abominations. Oh, by the way, did not the Lord Jesus say that sodomy is an abomination? He did. Those who practice abomination, that is licentious behavior, that is licentious practices. The amazing thing, and this just blows me away every time I think about it. I've never really said much about it. I don't think I have anyway. But I think about it, and it just blows me away. You go back in the Old Testament, and you study the way they lived during the period of the judges and the kings. Go back and look at that. And you're going to read stuff like that such and such a king came onto the throne of Israel or of Judah, and it'll say that that he did not walk in the ways of his father, but instead he built high places. Now, what are the high places? Then it'll say he built the groves. What are the groves? Well, let me just say it to you this way. They're not fundamental churches. All right? What they are houses of ill repute. It's where all sorts of perversion went on. And people paid money that went into the coffers of those running these groves and made them wealthy while they were being told by the prophets of Baal that what they were doing was worshiping Baal, who is nothing more than the god of filth. That's all Baal is, or was. He's just filth. And they all understood that. And folks, that's why God was so against them tolerating that religion. Because it was just so abominable. All right? I don't know how else to say it, but it was just so abominable. And that is who's not going to be there. They're not going to be in heaven. They have chosen the wrong thing. Then murderers. Who are these? Well, these are those who murder people. They commit homicide. Then the whoremongers. Who are they? Well, these are the ones who practice and then promote licentious sexual behavior outside of marriage. Those are the whoremongers. They are mongering in filth. That's all they do. That's all they think. That's all they act. They are whoremongers. They monger among the whores. So if you ever wonder what that word means, now you know, don't you? Put it together. Then sorcerers. Now this one is really interesting. The word here is the word pharmakia. Does that ring any bells? Pharmacy. It's where we get our word pharmacy. Sorcerers. Could it be referencing those who use drugs to induce a euphoric high, a pseudo-religious fantasy, or some occult experience? Could it be that? Sure could. Don't you find it strange? You know, somebody says, well, I'm going to start smoking. You know, everybody would turn around and say, are you nuts? I mean, look what that did to the last generation. So many of our parents died because they got addicted to those things in their teenage years. It was pawned off on teens. And they got addicted. And then they smoked until they got lung diseases and cancer and you name it. And then, boom, they're gone. Early. And now we know, don't we? Now we know. And so today, smoking is taboo. I mean, the whole country will shake its collective head at you. Oh, no, don't do that. And kids were finally getting the message. You know, kids were finally getting the message. And now look at what they've done. Isn't that something? Oh, don't you smoke cigarettes? It's okay if you smoke marijuana. Where is the common sense reasoning in that logic? There is none. Oh, my goodness. Up is down. Down is up. Right's left. Left's right. Oh, my goodness. What a mess. They're doing such a good job. Not. And then, all liars. Now, listen to this. The liars are going to have to spend eternity with the father of lies. Remember John 8:44? Jesus looked at those Pharisees and he said, you are of your father, the devil. Man, I bet that went over good, don't you? I mean, you talk about getting emails going. That would have done it right there. Cards and letters would have been flying right there. Well, I can't believe you said that. Well, he did. He said it to their faces, too. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. It's not something that, you know, he developed into. No, right from the start, that's what he was. And every time he appears in the Bible, he is lying and he is questioning the Word of God. We hear his voice three times in the scriptures. In the Garden of Eden, and what was he doing? Oh, ye shall not surely die. Yep. He's air conditioning hell. That's what he's trying to do. Ye shall not surely die. Well, wait a minute. What'd God say? Don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. For in the day that thou doest, dying physically, thou shalt surely die spiritually. Dying the first time, physical death, you will surely die the second time, spiritual death. You see it? Now, where's the father of lies going to spend eternity? In the lake of fire. We've already seen that in chapter 20. All right? So, you say, well, are these the only ones who will be in hell for all eternity? You say, well, I've never committed any of these terrible things. Well, do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? Let me have you go back to the Gospel of Matthew for just a moment. Go back to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5. And let's look for just a moment at what the Lord Jesus said in verse 21. All right, now watch this carefully. Look at verse 21. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Now, why did they say that? Anybody know why the old timers said that? Because that's what God said. Don't kill. In the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. That's murder. Okay? You are not to take life. That's God's job. He gave life. He's the one that can take life. But not you. Okay? So, you have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill, shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, it's about to get heavy here, that whosoever is what?
Angry
with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Wow. Wow. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, which is basically saying to someone, it's like saying, you're the scum of the earth. All right? You're a terrible person. You are an ugly soul. All right? It's just being demeaning. You're angry on the inside, and you just lash out at someone and call them names. That's what that Reka is talking about. The word Reka literally translates into a vain person. And boy, you didn't want to be seen as vain. Don't forget, God does, one of the things that God hates is pride, all right? And you didn't want to be seen as a prideful, vain person. So, read on. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So you just take it you're a jerk, or you're a terrible person, or you are a vain person, which would be a tremendous insult back in Bible times. But then to take it another step forward and say, thou fool. Well, what did God say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So basically what you're doing there is you're putting yourself in the seat of judgment simply because you don't like somebody. And that's right, isn't it? All right, so not supposed to do that. Not supposed to do that. All right, so look down at verse 27. You say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, I've never done any of these things in Revelation 21:8. Well, what about Matthew 5, 21 and 22? Well, let me ask you another one. Let's look at this one. In verse 27, he said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, here we go again. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his own heart. So I'm not like Revelation 21:8. Well, how about Matthew 5:27 and 28? Are you like that? You see, there's really no difference between Revelation 21:8 and Matthew 5:28. Yeah, there's really no difference, is there? You say, well, I've never done any of those sins. No, and I'm glad you haven't, but listen, Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all. Okay? So the condemnation that is in Revelation 21:8, the condemnation is specifically for those who die in their sins. They die without repentance. They die sticking their hand in the face of God and saying no. They would rather have their sin than live for God. And that is what God is talking about here. The good news is that there is wonderful forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ for all sins and for all sinners if they will just come to the Lord. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. All right, let's go to another verse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, let's look, please, at verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous," that's somebody who is not saved, "the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived." Now, this is just like Revelation 21:8, isn't it? Look at this. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," that's the homosexual, the sodomites, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards," are you listening? "Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now that's consistent with Revelation 21:8, is it not? Do you see that? Am I barking up the wrong tree here? I think I'm right on. But wait a minute. There is forgiveness. Look at the next verse. Paul says, "And such," in other words, fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners, "and such," these sins were some of you. Amen. Right. Oh, by the way, we were all in there at one time or another. Yep. Weren't we? Yep. Hard to admit that. You know, take your halo off and put it under the pew. All right? And then you come with church with the rest of us and you'll say, "Oh yeah, that was me. Yeah, that was me." "But such were..." That's past tense, isn't it? "In were past tense. And such were some of you. But ye are washed." Amen. Amen. "Washed in the blood." Amen. "But ye are sanctified." Set apart. "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." In other words, justified, you are just as if you had never sinned one time.
Amen. Praise God.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But that's justification. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What an amazing verse. Hey, folks, the point is, let's go back to Revelation now. And the point is, in these first eight verses, the point is, all things are new. Okay? All things are new. That's in verse 1 of chapter 21. "And I saw a," what? "New heaven and a," what? "New earth." All right. First earth, they were all passed away. And now there is a new heaven and a new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem. All right, we're talking about everything, all things new. All things are new. We will not be living around sin and sinners, debauchery, evil, witchcraft, all this garbage that they pump into your living room every day. You're not we're not going to be around all that stuff anymore. There will be a separation, as the Lord Jesus said, between the wheat and the chaff.
Amen.
There will be a separation. The devil's in hell. The beast is in hell. The lake of fire, Gehenna. The devil's in the lake of fire. The beast is in the lake of fire. The false prophet is in the lake of fire. All those who have rejected God's grace are in the lake of fire. And all is new for us.
Amen.
That curse, gone. Gone. You don't have to worry about getting old. You don't have to worry about getting sick. COVID will be a thing of the past. Cancer will be a thing of the past. Hospitals are going to shut down. There won't be anybody sick. And plus, you don't have to spend your whole life in school to get somewhere. Amen. So, it's all going to be new. Man, what a place God has prepared for us. But those of us who are saved are eternally in the new heaven and the new earth and dwelling in the presence of God Almighty. What an amazing scene John witnessed in the first part of chapter 21. What an amazing thing. Look at verse 4. And let me remind you, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wonder what all means. Yep, means all. Be gone. No more tears. Where do we get tears in our old age? Where do we get our tears? What springs them? Death, broken heart,
kids,
yep, grandkids, great grandkids. That's where the tears come when we get older. But they'll all be wiped away. Now, if God, and look at what it says that God shall wipe them away.
Amen.
You know, when God does something,
right.
He does it right.
Amen.
It's final. Doesn't have to be, you know, doesn't have to be improved on. And that's our God. All right, well, it's gone. Time's up again. All right, now, next time we will start in verse 9. And verse 9 is going to throw you a little bit. All right, what is about to be discussed here in the rest of this chapter, it's going to throw you, okay? It's a little confusing, but I'll explain it to you. And if you want to study it and read it and see if you can figure it out yourself, then that's fine. I hope you will do that. Can I just give you a hint?
Yes.
All right. Do you remember we talked about the parenthetical chapters or sections?
Yes.
All right, you know what that means? Okay, so this is the revelation, one revelation. This is not revelations. It is one revelation. And as he is receiving this revelation, while something is happening that he's telling us about, it may be in heaven or it may be on the earth, but he'll pause and he'll say almost like, oh, wait a minute, parentheses, let me tell you something else. And then he tells that, and then he closes the parentheses, and then he goes back to where he left off. Okay? That's parenthetical. And verse 9, down to the end of the chapter, is parenthetical. Now that'll help you. And I'll explain that to you next Wednesday night, if the rapture does not happen first. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word, and I pray that you'll bless this to our hearts. And I pray that we'll see the urgency of telling folks about how to be saved and giving the gospel, sharing the gospel. Father, we need to do all we can to keep folks out of hell. And so I pray that you will bless what's been said tonight and just help it to light a fire burning in our bones like Jeremiah had. We just have to get that word out there. And Father, we all have family members. We all have uncles and aunts and cousins and folks that they need Christ. And if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? And so I pray you'll give us just real boldness to proclaim your word. Bless what's been said now. In Jesus' name, amen.